If the casino isn't your style, horse racing season's over, you can't get into any more hockey pools, you don't have to worry. You still have the markets to gamble on. I'm here with David Sweeney from Dundee Wealth Management with some tips on investing in the moon. Dave, tell me a little bit about some options outside of the norm, maybe some high-risk investment options.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a number of investments. I mean, the term high-risk ultimately is skeptical, or ones that you're really trying to, what I call, swing for the fence. You know, you're trying to turn $10,000 into $50,000, for example. Those are, as I say, quite speculative. This is money that if you're ever to invest in them, you sort of would, it's the equivalent of what you would take to Vegas and, you know, throw around and see, hopefully, you know, again, come back that one star-eyed person who does actually win down there as opposed to the bulk who don't. Traditionally, high-risk money like that, you don't, it's not overly, normally about 10% of the portfolios that you have, because again, can you really afford to lose it? Ultimately, again, as I say, you're going for the fence on this one. So
it's really kind of
if there's the upside, there's the obvious downside to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
A number of investments that might fit that realm today would be, you know, what I call real sector specific. Oil and gas might be one, and in fact, that's one we're sort of saying to everybody: the day is over. You know, the big run-ups in those regions have really had their day, much like the technology stocks did in 1999. Everybody watched from 95 to 99, and, you know, these things go up like crazy. So they jump on the bandwagon in 99 to see the year 2000 to 2003 show up, and they lose 70 to 80% of their assets.
Now, I don't really, I mean, not knowing much about it, I don't really know how oil and gas can do that. I mean, we're stuck on them, aren't we?
Well, oil and gas is a big part of the Canadian resource sector, mm-hmm. but right now it is a commodity that's gone up dramatically in value. So that's why you get this big run-up in a very short period of time that gets a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
As, again, using the analogy of the technology stocks, as gold did in the 80s, as interest-bearing investments did in the late 80s and early 90s, and things like that. So every sort of dog has its day.
Right.
The issue being is you've got to be in the right one when it's its day. And that's the hard part. That's the speculation. You really don't know. And especially you and I as individuals, when we don't really have an opportunity to do any real research, we certainly can't talk to the CEO of Shell Canada. He's never going to take your call, no matter how many times you phone him. So ultimately what you're doing is you're gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really, as I say, trying to hit the fence, trying to get that 50 or, you know, 60 or 100% return in a very short time frame. But as I say, this is money you've got to be prepared to lose.
Can you? How much money do you need to start playing with these kind of stocks?
Realistically, today, because of the Internet, very little. In fact, less than $1,000. The reality, though, is are you going to well serve yourself in doing something like that if you took $1,000 and threw it into a stock and hoped that, again, it doubled or tripled in size? If that was your first 1,000 or the only 1,000 you have saved, don't do it. As I said, originally you should look at it traditionally in about 10% of your portfolio is in this play money, I would call it, where you're willing to say, let's, you know, roll the dice and see what kind of returns we should get. But it shouldn't really ever be more than 10%. The money that you've obtained is awfully hard to earn to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
So then to go and see it erode or be eliminated because of a speculative investment not only has a tendency to do two things. One, it burns our fingers. So once bitten, twice shy, we don't want to do that again. And then we have this inherent capability of stepping so secure that we do even obviously the exact opposite. We go to like a term deposit or GIC that grows at 2 or 3%. The other side of the coin, though, is if you do lose that 10%, you obviously don't lose your retirement nest egg or even any savings that you do have. It is a small portion.
So, David, 10% you say is a good number to play with.
Yeah.
What do you recommend? How do you recommend we lay out a portfolio? Like, where would the other 90% go?
The other 90% should be your steady Freddy. What I mean by that is simply in a proper asset allocation mixture. And asset allocation is based on the correct percentage of cash that you would hold, the correct percentage of bond, and then stocks or equities. And ultimately, that balance is based on a number of things. What's the objective of the money? If somebody is 65 years old, yes, they might still need some growth, and in fact, they do, for a simple fact that they probably will live to age 87, so there's 22 more years of time that money needs to be invested for. So they still need growth, but they can afford that volatility, as you mentioned earlier, with the high-risk investment and watching a price of Nortel, for example, go from, you know, $65 to $125 down to $3.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of volatility would wipe a person out, never mind the emotional roller coaster that they would be running on. younger, a 25-year-old, who cares what the price of Nortel is today? I don't need this money for 40 years.
Yeah.
And you're hoping, for example, that it does recover. And, you know, using Nortel as a very facetious example, but whatever you're invested in, you can afford some volatility. So the younger you are, the riskier the portfolio, or the more volatile. And that's the real change of thought we've really got to think about. It's not risk, it's volatile. In other words, it will fluctuate in value on a daily basis. If it's an all-stock portfolio, I can't afford that if I'm 65, so therefore I hold bonds in the portfolio and cash, which mute a lot of that volatility. I need the equity there to still get me the gain to offset inflation, but that balance in what we have is how we then manage the gain so that it is more predictable. And that's really the biggest thing that we all need when you're looking at providing for an income stream of the future, or no matter what it is, it's what's the rate of return I require to have my assets do what I need it to do. And the question is that rate of return, and am I getting it? And that's the really hard part for most people today to put a finger on. They don't know what their stock portfolio has done as a return. They don't know what their GICs are really doing for them, or more or less doing to them as opposed to for them. So that's what we need to get a handle on, and that's such a critical, important part of the whole scenario.
That was David Sweeney with Dundee Wealth Management, letting us know how to go wild and stay safe all at the same time. If you have any questions for David, email them into news@mountainfm.com. For the Mountain Monitor, I'm Lindsay Logan.